Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good evening. This is Chocolate Lady 64 at Blog Talk Radio. I'm hoping everyone had a great Veterans Day. I did. I enjoyed my day off. I would like to start the show out today with a moment of silence for all our fallen soldiers. Okay. I hope everyone did enjoy their day off, the ones who did, because some people had to work. Me, I was lucky. I didn't have to. Working for the federal government has its benefits. Well, I want to say hi out there to all my veterans, and I'm hoping that all is well with them. We will be continuing our discussion with post-traumatic stress disorder. As you know, last week we talked about the domestic violence part of it and how to get help and how to make things safe for you and your family if you're in a situation where the domestic violence has escalated or you feel the ideal that it will be. And if you're having problems right now, the phone number to call is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. That's the English version. If you speak Spanish, it will be 1-888-268-9454. I'm going to repeat that number all the way through the show tonight. Let's see. You may call me at any time at 347-677-1749. Let me repeat that number again, 347-677-1749, if you have any questions or comments. I want to jump right in this evening, starting off the show, with Major Nadal Hassan, 39, an Army psychiatrist, and the sole suspect that was wounded in November 5th shooting. As you know, at Fort Hood on November 5th, a tragic situation took place. Nadal Hassan took upon himself to kill some of his fellow soldiers. And he was a major in the military, in the Army, on Fort Hood Army Base in Texas. And we're very curious about who is the blame for this. Who can we blame? You know, right now there's a tug of war of who should have saw what and who should have did what at this time. To be honest with you, being a soldier and being in situation, I really can't say who was to blame for this. Maybe somebody higher up should have paid attention to his actions. I'm just going by what some of the things that I heard that he was doing a research paper, and that's how all of this happened. When he was giving all the signs, he was chopping it off, or they allowed him to chalk it off as a research paper. In reality, he was defending the suicide bombings that held. And also he held Islamic views. And I, because we're not in his shoes, would never want to be. We don't know how he felt about his religion, how he felt about his homeland. We really don't know. But the result of it all is that we've lost 12, if I'm not mistaken, soldiers to this day. And I think altogether he wounded 32 people, was wounded altogether. And this man was a psychiatrist. And I had an opportunity to talk with one of our psychiatrists where I work, and she stated to us that they don't have a cushion when things get out of hand for them. There's no one they can sit down and talk to. They don't have anybody to, you know, to deal with their problems. I'm not making excuses, but this is what was told to me. So they have to find other coping mechanisms to deal with when it comes to that, which is either a fellow coworker, because your coworker who's in that same field basically know how you feel. But maybe he didn't have that. I'm not being sympathetic for him, but I'm trying to kind of explain what I think happened. And because he was not able to and he felt isolated, then this is the result. What can we do to prevent this from happening? To be honest with you, I really truly believe no one really has an answer. Because paying attention, you still might miss something because we're not all perfect. With him, maybe the signs were there and nobody paid attention because we truly don't know the whole inside story. All of this is coming from the news. It's not coming from what we actually know. This is basically from the news. I hope that he gets the help he's needed wherever he goes. No matter what, he needs help. Regardless of what happens to him, what situation he's going to be in, he still needs help. And it just goes back to say, with all the pressure our soldiers are up under, you know, the idea that we have soldiers that are going back 4 and 5 times, I just cannot believe it. And now there's a debate in the White House with the president about sending 40,000 more troops over there. And according to what Colin Powell told him, wait, don't rush into it. Don't let nobody convince you to do something that you're going to may regret when there's no exit strategy put in place. And originally that was his big argument when this whole thing started. Was you don't send troops in without an exit plan. And I'm thinking that's where it's at right now. We have no way of bringing our troops home, even though during campaign we were promised that our soldiers would be coming home. But now we're talking a whole different thing. So you take that into consideration. And let me, before I jump to that, I want to say this. My heart and prayers go out to each and every one of those family members that lost somebody, and even out to the ones who are wounded. My hearts go out to them because, you know, I wouldn't know how I would handle that if that was me. And even though yesterday should have been a day of celebration, well, because of who I am and what I've been through and my fellow soldiers, what they've been through, I wasn't as happy as I should have been because they say celebrate the ones who are alive. Well, I'm here, and I thank God for being here, but I was very sad yesterday and because I felt like, you know, these people will never see another day, you know, and it's so much more they could have done. And like I said, time tells everything, and I was just kind of sad yesterday. I know I should have been happy and, you know, happy Veterans Day, but I wasn't. I saw it in a different light, and maybe everybody didn't see it the way I did. And when I get like that, I can't watch a lot of those memorial things, you know, those things on television, the shows and the segment when I think President and his wife, President Obama and his wife, went to the memorial for the fallen soldiers. I couldn't watch that. That made me very sad. So I turned the channel and watched something else. I'm not too good with watching wartime shows anyway because of I get depressed, and I'll be honest with you, I get very depressed. So I don't try to watch those things. I try to watch other stuff that I really like watching. Let me do this. Let me repeat this number. If you feel like you need help and someone to talk to, you may call 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. That is the English version. If you speak Spanish, you may call 1-888-628-9454. Let me say that again. I'm kind of hesitating. I don't know why. 1-888-628-9454. If you feel that you need some help, I tell everybody, even people who are not in the military, and you've been in some type of tragic event in your life, you have witnessed or been part of a very tragic event in your life, I encourage you to get the help that is needed. I want to, we're going to discuss or continue our talk on PTSD, and we're going to talk about helping a family member who has PTSD. When someone has PTSD, it can change their family life. A person with PTSD may act differently and get angry easily. He or she may not want to do things you used to enjoy together. Now, I find myself being angry and spouting off real quick out of nowhere, you know. And everybody's like double-taking. What is wrong with you? I have to step away from people, step away from my family for a second and kind of gather my bearings, then come back into the scene that I'm in. That might sound kind of crazy, but that's how I handle it. Because I need to do that for me. Because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if I don't have to. And I don't want my feelings hurt, so I kind of step away. You may feel like you're scared or frustrated, like I said, about the changes you see in your loved ones, because you don't know which way to turn, how to handle it, what to do with them. You may also feel angry about what's happening to your family or wonder if things will ever get back to the way they were. When dealing with a person who's suffering from PTSD, it can be very, very hard on the family. Because I have a friend that her husband just not too long ago came back, and she's telling me all the signs and symptoms of what he's doing and how frustrating she's getting because she doesn't know what to do and how to do it. And me and her talk all the time, and I kind of guide her through where to get some information, where to get some help, you know, because sometimes he doesn't want to discuss it. He doesn't want to talk about it. And she doesn't try to push it on him. Excuse me. And she doesn't want to, you know, push it on him. So I found some pointers in here on how can I help. It says you may feel helpless, but there are many things you can do. Nobody expects you to have all the answers, but at least try to learn a little bit of something. Learn as much as you can about PTSD. That's the first thing you do. Knowing how PTSD affects people may help you understand what your family member is going through. The more you know, the better you and your family can handle the PTSD. Offer to go to the doctor visits with your family member. You can help track the medicine and therapy, and you can be there for their comfort or support. Tell your loved one that you want to listen, that you also understand if he or she doesn't feel like talking, because sometimes I get to the point where I don't want to talk, and you all right? I'm fine, and that's just my answer to that. Don't push anything else out of me. So they walk away after that. Plan family activities together. Have dinner. Go to a movie together. You know, get everybody involved to make this person feel better. The PTSD person feel better about, you know, who they are, and knowing that they have you as support helps out a lot. Take them for a walk. Go for a bike ride. Do a lot of physical activities together. It's good to do a lot of exercise, because exercise gets rid of the old feelings, and, you know, it makes you feel good once you sweat all that bad stuff out of you. Make sure you're doing a lot of planning with that person as a family, and that you're keeping him involved or her involved in everything. Encourage, you know, the contact with family and close friends. You know, hey, do you want to go fishing with Carl this weekend? He called to want to check on you. You want to go, you know, or Mary, do you want to go shopping with us? You know, keep them involved. Make sure the friends are involved, and make sure you keep the friends up to date on what's going on, so they know, you know, how to approach them if they had to or if they wanted to talk to them. They need a good support system, and my support system works for me. It's because I have my husband, and then I have military friends. Well, we're both not in the military anymore, but we can talk back and forth to keep each other encouraged. And I have another friend that I call when I'm having a bad time, and she calls me when she's having a bad time. So I have my little support system there for me, to keep me from going through so many bad times, because I don't mind talking to them. Now, if I had a problem with talking to them, then it would be bad on me. Sometimes your family members may not want your help. Keep in mind that the withdrawal can be a symptom of the PTSD. They might not feel like talking or taking part in group activities or being around other people. Sometimes I get like that. You give your loved one space, but always tell him or them that whenever you're ready to talk, I'm here, and I can help you, and I'll support you in anything that you need or want. If you keep them encouraged and knowing that if you need me, I'm there, I think that's more of a comforting thing for them. How can I, as a family member, deal with anger or violent behavior? They may feel angry about a lot of things. It's a normal reaction to trauma. It can hurt relationships, and it can make it hard for that person to think clearly. It can also be very frightening. If anger leads to violent behavior or abuse, it's dangerous. Go to a safe place and call for help right away. Make sure children are in a safe place as well. It's very hard to talk to someone when they're angry, and it's very dangerous. Here's some of the ways we can handle this. Agree that either of you can call timeout at any time. You know, okay, let me walk away, let me walk around the block, and I'll be back. Also agree that when someone calls a timeout, that the discussion must stop right then and there. I don't want to talk anymore. If that's your way of timing out, walk away. Decide on a signal when you will use or want to call timeout. The signal is, I don't want to talk anymore. That's it. Don't egg the person on and say, why now you don't want to talk? Now you want to shut up. Now you don't. Let them go. Walk away, or allow them to walk away. Once that's been done, then you know that person needs to get away and catch catch their breath or get their bearings back. Agree to tell each other where you will be and what you will be doing during your time out. Also, have enough kindness in you to tell them where you're going and what time you'll be back. They need to know this. when you're doing your timeout or when that person is doing that timeout, let them know not to focus on the anger that they feel, but instead think calmly and try to calm yourself down so when you do come back to talk, things will be, you can really, really, really sit down and talk about whatever the situation that made you angry in the first place. Now, how you handle it after you come back, take turns talking about the situation. Let the person talk. Don't interrupt them. You can use statements like I think, I feel, you, always use the word you. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. It says, use statements starting with I, such as I think or feel. Using the word you makes it sound more accusing, and you don't want to do that, so don't use the word you. You did this and you did that. Don't do that. Be open to each other's ideals. Don't criticize each other. Focus on the things that both things, so that both of y'all can think that will work to make, you know, to get over this hump. If you both have good ideals, then together y'all can make great decisions and be able to come up with a solution to these, to the situation. It's asking now, how can I communicate better? Be clear and straight to the point. Be positive. Blame and negative talk won't help the situation. Be a good listener. Don't argue or interrupt. Repeat what you hear to make sure you understand and ask questions if you need to know more. Put your feelings into words. Your loved one may know, your loved ones may not know you are sad or frustrated unless you're clear about how you feel. Help family members put feelings into words. Ask, are you feeling angry, sad, worried? Ask, how can I help you? Don't give advice unless it is being asked. If they're asking for your advice, then you give. If they're not, don't volunteer it. If you're having, if the family is having a lot of trouble talking things over, consider trying family therapy. Family therapy is a type of counseling that involves your whole family. A therapist helps you and your family communicate, maintain good relationships, and cope with tough emotions. Because sometimes we can't handle it on our own. Even we think we can, but we really can't. Because you have to understand, that person is no longer the same person you married or dated or with. Because something in their life has changed. So sometimes you can't handle this by yourself. Sometimes it is very overwhelming. Sometimes you want to blame yourself when it's really not your problem. In order to find a family therapist, you can talk to your professional, religious or social services, organizations. Your doctor can find you a family therapist, and you find someone who specializes in PTSD. Now that PTSD is a big thing now, more people are getting into practice of learning more about it so that they can help someone with it if they were to come to them. It says, how can I take care of myself in the process of taking care of this person who has PTSD? Helping a person with PTSD can be hard on you. You may have your own feelings of fears and anger about the trauma. You may feel guilty because you wish your family member just forget what happened to them and move on, but it's not that easy. You might feel confused or frustrated. Your loved one has changed. You want them to be the same way. You don't want them to have all this going on. You don't like to see them crying and depressed and sad. And you have in your mindset that my family life will never be the same. It will never be like it used to be. So how do I handle this? How do I go on? It can drain you emotionally and physically. It can affect your health. It can make it hard for you to help your loved one, and if you're not careful, you may get sick yourself. Become depressed or burnt out to stop helping the person you love. It can be very, like I said before, overwhelming for you. You need to first and foremost take care of yourself. Get help yourself. get you a support system because you need it. Not only do the person who's suffering from the PTSD need it, you need a support system also in order for you to get to that next hump. Make sure you take care of yourself. You don't need to feel guilty or feel that you know it all because you don't. Remind yourself that nobody has all the answers. It's a normal feeling of helplessness at times. It's normal to feel that way. Don't feel bad if things change slowly. You can't change anyone. People have to change themselves. You take care of your physical and mental health. You feel yourself getting sick or often feel sad and hopeless, make sure you go see your doctor. That's very important. You make sure you get the proper help you need, okay? Don't you give up on your outside life. If you need to get away every now and then, you know, to feel normal, because during this time you're not feeling like everything is normal, everything is not in its little box because your boxes are all over the place and everything that was in it has spilled all over the, oh, that's the scenario I'm trying to put together. It, you know, has fall, everything that was in these little small boxes that were sitting in the straight line, they're tumbled all over the place, they tossed all over the place, so you feel overwhelmed. Get away for a second. Make sure you take time out to do hobbies and activities that you like. Don't shut out your friends. Make sure you keep friends. Make sure you get a good support system, and I've said that before. Take time to be by yourself. Take time out for you. Find a quiet place, gather up your thoughts, and recharge. Get regular exercise, and also just a few minutes a day to get rid of the stress. You need to do a little exercise. Make sure you're eating healthy. When you're busy, it may seem easier to eat fast than to prepare a healthy meal, to eat a lot of fast food. Take time. Make a meal. Sometimes that can be soothing. Sometimes that can take the pressure off just a little bit. Make sure that you know that healthy foods can get you through a hard day. Always remember the good things that has happened in the relationship. We can find out that it's much more easier to get weighed down with the worry and stress, but don't forget to see and celebrate the good things that happen to you and your family. Always remember the good things. The way we can get help, which sometimes it can be hard, when you have people in your life that you can depend on, it's much easier. Like I said, those people would be your support network, and they can help you with your everyday jobs, like taking the children to school or by giving you loving understanding. Hey, I'm here for you. If you need me, call me anytime. You can have people like your family members, friends, coworkers, and neighbors, members of your religious or spiritual groups, support groups, doctors, and other health professionals. They're here for you. And it's up to you to get to use their help as much as you can. It's very important that we get the help that we need so we can be able to cope with that person. I'm very blessed because my husband can understand kind of what I'm going through because I talk freely to him about it. He knows when I need to step away, and he doesn't mind that, and he doesn't get upset when I do step away. Because he knows I've gone through a lot, I've seen a lot in my life, and he's there for me, and I like that. If you have any comments, you may call me at 347-677-1749. If you're having problems with PTSD, I advise you to call 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. If you are speaking Espanol, you can call at 1-888-628-9454. These numbers are here for you, and I'm hoping that you get the help that you need. We can also talk about the treatment of PTSD. What are they doing for PTSD? It says, good treatments are now available for PTSD. There was a time when it wasn't. If you have PTSD and you're dealing with the past, it can be really hard. Instead of telling others how you feel, you may keep your feelings bottled up, but talking with a therapist can help you get better. And I could truly say that at times when I need that, I'm able to get that help. CBT, which is called cognitive behavior therapy, is one type of counseling. It appears to be the most effective type of counseling for PTSD. There are different types of cognitive behavioral therapy, such as cognitive therapy and exposure therapy. The VA is providing two forms of behavioral therapy to veterans with PTSD. CPT, which is a processing of cognitive therapy, and prolonged exposure, which is PE. There's also a similar kind of therapy called eye movement desensitization and repressing that is used for PTSD. Medications have been shown to be effective. A type of drug known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRI, which is also used for depression, is effective for PTSD. What is cognitive therapy? Okay. Cognitive therapy, along with your therapist, helps you understand and change how you think about your trauma and its aftermath. Your goal is to understand how certain thoughts about your trauma causes you to stress and make symptoms worse. You'll learn to identify thoughts about the world and yourself that are making you feel afraid and upset. With the help of your therapist, you will learn to replace these thoughts with more accurate and less distressing thoughts. You also learn ways to cope with feelings such as anger, guilt, and fear. After a traumatic event, you might blame yourself for things you couldn't have changed. For example, a soldier may feel guilty about decisions he or she had made during the war. Cognitive therapy, a type of CBT, helps you understand the traumatic event you lived through was not your fault. Okay. Let's talk about exposure therapy. In exposure therapy, your goal is to have less fear about your memories. It is based on the ideal that people learn to fear thoughts, feelings, and situations that remind them of the past traumatic event. By talking about your trauma repeatedly with the therapist, you'll learn to get control of your thoughts and feelings about the trauma. You'll learn that you do not have to be afraid of your memories. This may be hard at first. It might seem strange to think about stressful things on purpose, but you'll feel less overwhelmed over time. So we're talking about two different therapies. We're talking about the cognitive therapy and the exposure therapy. With the help of your therapist, you can change how you react to stressful memories. Talking in a place where you feel secure makes this easier. You may focus on memories that are less upsetting before talking about worse ones. This is called desensitization, and it allows you to deal with bad memories a little bit at a time. Your therapist also may ask you to remember a lot of bad memories at once. This is called flooding, and it helps you learn not to feel overwhelmed by these events. You also may practice different ways to relax when you're having stressful memories. Breathing exercises are sometimes used for this also. Then there is, we're going to talk about EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. This is a fairly new therapy for PTSD. Like other kinds of counseling, it can help change how you react to the memory of your trauma. While talking about your memories, you'll focus on distractions like eye movements, hand taps, and sounds. For example, your therapist will move his or her hand near your face, and you'll follow this movement with your eyes. Experts are still learning how EMDR works. Studies have shown that it may help you have fewer PTSD symptoms. but research also suggests that eye movements are not a necessary part of the treatment. So that's kind of an iffy. We talked about three different therapies. We talked about the cognitive therapy, we talked about the exposure therapy, and then we just got to discussing the eye movement reprocessing, which is EMDR. Okay, let's talk about medications now. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which is SSRIs, which is a type of antidepressant medicine. This can help you feel sad and less sad and worried. They appear to be helpful. For some people, they are very effective. It includes fitalopram, which is Celexa, fluoxetine, such as Prozac, paroxetine, which is Paxil, and sertraline, which is Zoloft. Chemicals in your brain affect the way you feel. When you have or depression, you may not have enough of a chemical called serotonin. SSRIs raise the level of serotonin in your brain. There are other medications that have been used with some success. Talk to your doctor about which medications are right for you. I'm going to go over the medications, which are antidepressant medications. You have Celexa, you have Prozac, you have Paxil, and you have Zoloft. Other types of treatment, in addition to your CBT, the SSRIs, some other kinds of counseling may be helpful in your recovery for PTSD. Group therapy, as you know, that's when people get together and discuss the trauma because they're in a group of people who've had the same trauma happen to them. And sometimes sharing the stories with others will make you feel a little bit better, makes you feel comfortable about talking about your trauma. It also helps with coping with your symptoms and your memories and other parts of your life. Group therapy also helps you build relationship with others who understand what you've been through. Y'all have a common bond there, the trauma. You learn to deal with your emotions, such as shame, guilt, anger, rage, or fear. Sharing with the group also can help build your self-confidence and trust. You'll learn to focus on your present life rather than feeling overwhelmed by the past. Now, the next one is brief psychodynamic psychotherapy. In this type of therapy, you learn ways of dealing with emotional conflicts caused by your trauma. This therapy helps you understand how your past affects the way you feel now. The therapist can help you identify the triggers, your stressful memories, and other symptoms. Find ways to cope with intense feelings about the past. Become more aware of your thoughts and feelings so that you can change your actions to them. Raise your self-esteem. Family therapy, which we discussed earlier, PTSD can impact your whole family, your kids and your partner. You may not understand why you get angry, which they may not understand why you get angry sometimes, or why you're under so much stress. They may feel scared, guilty, or even angry about your condition because they have no control over it, and they feel that you are not controlling it. Family therapy also is a type of counseling that involves your whole family. A therapist helps you and your family communicate, maintain good relationships, and cope with the tough emotions. Your family can learn more about this PTSD and how it is treated. In family therapy, also, each person can express his or her fears and concerns about the situation. It's important to be honest about your feelings and listen to others. You can talk about PTSD symptoms and what triggers them, what makes them make you go off the handle or off the deep edge. You also can discuss the important parts of your treatment and recovery. By doing this, your family will be better prepared to help you. You may consider having individual therapy for your PTSD symptoms and your family therapy to help you with your relationships. How long does the treatment last? Well, some people are in treatment for PTSD for 3 to 6 months. If you have other mental health problems, well, as well as your PTSD, treatment for PTSD may last 1 or 2 years longer because you're dealing with other things like mood disorders, you know, bipolar. All of that can go together, and it takes longer for the healing to start. They had a question and says, if someone has PTSD and another disorder, like I said, like a mood disorder or bipolar disorder, is the treatment different? It's very common to have PTSD at the same time as another mental disorder. Depression, alcohol, or substance abuse problems, panic disorder, and other anxiety disorders often occur along with the PTSD. In many cases, the PTSD treatments described above will also help with the other disorders. The best treatment results occur when both PTSD and the other problems are treated together rather than one after the other, which is good. What will work in therapy? When you begin therapy, you and your therapist should decide together what goals you hope to reach in your therapy. Not every person with PTSD will have the same treatment goals. For instance, not all people with PTSD are focused on reducing their symptoms. Some people just want to learn the best way to live with their symptoms and how to cope with other problems as well that's associated with the PTSD. You want to feel less guilty and sadness. Perhaps you would like to work on improving your relationship at work or communication issues with your friends and family. Your therapist should help you decide which of these goals seems more important to you, and he or she should discuss with you which goals might take a longer time to achieve. Let's see. What can you expect from your therapist? Your therapist should give you a good explanation for the therapy. You should understand why your therapist is choosing a specific treatment for you, how long they expect the therapy to last, and how they see it if it's working. The two of you should agree at the beginning that this plan makes sense for you and what you will do if it does not seem to be working. If you have any questions about the treatment, your therapist should be able to answer all of them. You should feel comfortable with your therapist. Feel you're working as a team to tackle this problem. Sometimes it can be difficult to talk about painful situations in your life or about a traumatic experiences that you have had. Feelings that emerge during therapy can be scary and challenging. Talking with your therapist about the process of therapy and about your hopes and your fears in regards to therapy will help you make therapy successful. Getting it all out, knowing how you feel, how to handle how you feel, and just letting them know what their role is and what your role is and how you guys can work together to make the healing start. Always feel that if you have in your mind any doubt that your therapist is not helping you, it would be a good idea to talk to another professional. Make sure you have enough nerve to tell your therapist if they're not helping you, that you want to get a second opinion on what their therapy process is going to be if you're in doubt that it's going to help you. We have talked about the treatment for PTSD. We talked about cognitive behavior therapy. We talked about exposure therapy. We discussed what is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. We talked about the different medications. We talked about Celexa, Prozac, Paxil, and Zoloft, which are medicines that are used. We talked about other types of treatment. We talked about group therapy. We talked about psychodynamic psychotherapy. We talked about family therapy. We discussed how long a treatment should last. The combination of PTSD and another disorder, how should we handle it? We came to a conclusion that we need to handle both of them at the same time. We talked about what to work on when you're going through therapy. We talked about the expectations of the therapist and what the therapist would do, and if you're not satisfied that you want, you can tell that therapist that you would like a second opinion. Let's see. Let's talk about PTS work in your community. Post-traumatic stress disorder can change your relationship with your community. Some people may shy away from you because of your PTSD. Getting work or finding a place to live may be more challenging, but you are in control of how your community views you. The way you act and treat others can help influence people's attitudes about PTSD. Sometimes that can be hard for some people who suffer from it real bad. So communicating with the outside or their community can be kind of hard and challenging. You have to understand sometimes there's a stigma attached, and when they have negative views about things they don't know much about, such mental illness, this is called what we call a stigma. Because there is a stigma about PTSD, others may look down on you because of your condition. People may believe things about PTSD that aren't true, which can cause them to treat you or your family differently. Some people may have good intentions but still feel uncomfortable when they find out that you have PTSD, and this can make it difficult for you to find a job or a place to live. Let's talk about when stigmas occur. When people don't understand PTSD, they don't realize that PTSD is an illness that can be treated. Think about that as a mental illness is your fault, and that you can get over it. You know, people are always ready to say, oh, get over it. You move on. It's not that easy. The ignorance can go to as far as that, don't get near me because I might catch it, which we know that's not true. And also that PTSD can make them think that you're very dangerous, so they want to stay away from you. You may feel shame or guilt about having PTSD. You may not want an employer or even your friends to know. This is called self-stigma, and it can keep you from getting treatment or finding work. Respecting yourself is an important part of your recovery. Don't let guilt or shame keep you from getting help. Getting treatment can help you get better. Your attitude and actions can influence what others think about you. Be honest with people and show them who you really are. When you help people understand your PTSD, then they are more likely to get past their negative views. Some ways you can help others better understand PTSD: let them know that PTSD is a medical condition, that it can be treated. Talk about your recovery. This will help them understand the challenges you face. Show them your strengths and talents. Don't let PTSD keep you from going after things you want to do. Because sometimes with that self-stigma, you're having the outside stigma, then you have self-stigma, and people can feel that. And it makes it harder for you to be able to function in your everyday life and to get the things that you need out of life. Remember that you are the message. You can show how you want to be treated by the way you act. Treating yourself with respect can set example for everyone else. Accept that you may need breaks during activities. Your symptoms may make it harder to focus on things for a long time. Work with your family and your doctor to set manageable goals. Let them know what changes you want to make in your life. Says getting help. Stigma about PTSD can make it hard to find work, and even finding housing can be a problem. But many cities have a local job service, employment office, or state health and welfare office. These organizations can help you get work or find a place to live. You also can find information about these services on the internet. Your doctor or local church may be able to connect you with services that can help you. Your doctor also may refer you to a social worker or a case manager who can help you find a place to live. Those programs they have very much, I know, at the VA hospital with a lot of our veterans who are in need of help. I am very fortunate that I'm on the level where I can function. I do take breaks. I do respect myself. I do respect others. I try to be very nice to people, and I try to treat everyone just basically the same when it comes to the respect part, because everybody's not the same. Sometimes it can be very hard for me to, how do you say that, to make things happen, to function normally sometimes, but I know I have to do it. I have to. I push myself every day to get up in the morning when I don't feel like it. I push myself to get through my day because I have to do it for myself. I can't allow this thing to beat me. So I'm on a constant basis of trying to make sure I can get through this. And I encourage anyone who suffers from PTSD to get the help you need. Males are very adamant of not getting help, or they don't, you know, don't want anybody because of the shame and, like you said, the self-stigma that happens. You don't want to get the help. But I encourage any male, I encourage any woman out there who's having these problems to get the help you need. If there's help there, and they're spending billions of dollars right now. Let me rephrase that. Millions of dollars coming together with making facilities and groups and hiring on psychotherapists and psychologists and to get the help that social workers, to get the help that our veterans need. It's up to us to make these things happen for ourselves. It really is. And I'm hoping that who is out there that feels like they're on the edge, that you get help, that you know that you don't want to see your family hurt. You don't want to see everything in your life crumble. You need to hold your head up, not shake it off, but get the help, because shaking it off doesn't mean anything. Hold your head up. Get some strength in you and go get the help you need. Disregard or ignore what people think about you, because I have to do it on a daily basis. I tell people that I suffer from PTSD because they need to know that about me. So if I go crazy, they know how to handle me. They know what's going on. They know who to get and how to get them. You know, I stop being ashamed of it when I realize that I've lived through a lot and I've suffered through a lot and I've overcome a lot. So I stopped feeling ashamed. I stopped thinking that it's something wrong with me, because it is a mental illness. It is a mental condition. And I'm doing the best to control it as much as possible, but it's only so much that I can do on my own. I need help every now and then, and I don't mind getting it. I'm not ashamed at all to get it. And I want you guys out there who are listening to not be ashamed of getting the help you need. I will repeat those numbers again for your own good. And you can call in at 347 for me, 677-1749. If you can't call in with this show, I'm hoping that you take an opportunity to listen to the show. And I need your comments. I need your views. I want you to help me with my show. Tell me what you think I can do better with my show during the show. I don't mind you calling in. The PTSD hotline for help is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. If you speak Espanol, you can call 1-888-628-9454. We have about 5 minutes left in the show, 4 to 5 minutes left in the show. And I would like to let you know our next show we will be discussing, because I think and I'm hoping I helped someone with this information about PTSD, with this whole segment on PTSD. The website to go to for more is www.ptsd.va.gov if you need any more help or any more information on that. They have a lot of information on how to handle PTSD, and it's the National Center for PTSD. Also, they have a little booklet in there. It's a guide for military personnel, and it's called Returning from the War Zone, and I think that would be an excellent guide for you guys to read. It's right there on the website, so if you want to download it, you can, and you can read it to some of your groups at church or at any organization that you're involved in to get them to learn to understand what PTSD is. And I'm hoping churches and other organizations are talking to the members and getting people together in the community to talk about PTSD, because each and every one of us have a soldier or soldiers in our community that probably are suffering, and we don't know. So I encourage organizations to get together and get a hold to this guide on that website, www.ptsd.va.gov, and download the fact sheet and this guide for returning from the war zone to let them give this out to some of the soldiers or family members, and so that they'll be able to know how to handle soldiers that are coming back from a wartime situation. Next week, I had on my agenda to talk about business. Well, I want to go in another direction. I want to talk about not the recession, but I want to talk about our money. I want to talk about the Federal Reserve. What our whole segment is basically going to be on is going to be talking about the Federal Reserve. If you need to contact me, email me. You can email me at sensible64@yahoo.com. Or you can catch me on Facebook, which is /Salita McCall. Go on there, and if you want to add me as a friend or you want me to be your friend, just go on there and let me know. I don't talk about a lot of stuff that's on my Blog Talk Radio on there, but that's a way that you can contact me if you want to. You can also catch me at blogtalkradio.com. Chocolate Lady 64. I'm sure using my real name, all my names. Chocolate Lady 64, and drop me a line. Give me a comment. I wanted to make a comment about Curvy Cowboy. I listened to her Halloween session episode, and I thought it was very interesting. And I will be getting back with her because I had some questions. I didn't get an opportunity to call in at the time. But it was good to hear her show. I want to talk about a couple of other authors that are hoping to get on my show. But I have so much I want to do before the year's out, so please bear with me and allow me to continue doing this because I love it. I will see you guys next Thursday, 8 p.m. This has been another Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64, signing off. Thank you.